makinig sa SBS Filipino.
Kasama ko ngayon dito sa studio para sa Project Kultura sa ikalawang pagkakataon sa pagtalakay ng mga buhay-buhay sa Australia bilang Pilipino-Australiano. Si Alfred Nicdao, si Matthew Victor Pastor at si Charlotte Nicdao. Magandang araw sa inyong tatlo.
Magandang hapon po. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Magandang hapon po. Oh,
yeah. Wow. So si Charlotte, nakasama na natin siya dati. Primary school pa lang siya. Ngayon, adult na.
Yes, it's been a while.
Yes. Pero nag-usap din tayo nung nakaraang taon or dalawang taon na nakakalipas. When you were part of a panel discussion on being Asian, Filipino, Australian in the film industry, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's right. That was 2 years ago now, I think, yeah.
At si Matthew, bumubuo ka ng film at meron ka ngayong pelikulang ipapalabas sa Pilipinas.
Melodrama Random Melbourne is one of the 5 feature films playing at the Sinag Manila Film Festival. That's going to be playing from the 7th to the 13th in SM Cinemas across somewhere around the Manila Metro Manila district.
And yeah, that's in the month of March.
March. Just after my 29th birthday.
Wow, so, happy birthday. Magandang birthday gift. At Alfred, okay. Project Kultura.
Oh, sige.
Isang taon na? Hindi ka nagkakama
mahigit? Hindi pa. Siguro mga 9 na buwan pa lang po.
Meron na kayong pangalawang panel discussion.
Meron ang pangalawang discussion panel.
Yeah. So yung una, tungkol sa buhay-buhay sa Australia ng mga Pilipino-Australiano. Mm-hmm. Sa ano ang mga natutunan natin doon?
Marami po. Ang unang-unang nabuksan sa aming diskusyon ay ang mga eksperyensya ng ating mga kababayan dito sa Melbourne. Hindi namin natutuhan kung ano talaga ang nararamdaman ng ating mga kapwa Pinoy dito sa Melbourne hanggang dinala natin sa isang forum. Ngayon, nung sinasabi nila yung kanilang individual experiences, na para ba naming nakita na hindi pala ganun kadali na mag-blend in ka sa panibagong kultura. And there was a lot of challenges. And because of those challenges, we found the need to actually get our community a lot closer together so we can be more in tune with each other and our challenges and day-to-day and provide support to each other.
So bagamat meron tayong mga pagkakahawig, maraming pagkakaiba.
Totoo po yan.
Maaring lahat tayo, particular dun sa mga tumira dito na mga adult na, no, yung mga na nagtapos na mag-aral, kumbagay mayroon na silang nakagisnan at mayroon na nakasanayan at mababago muli yung pamumuhay.
Tama.
Pero
po,
sa pagkakataong ito, sa ikalawang pagkakataon, tatalakay naman ang buhay ng mga Pilipino-Australiano na lumaki sa Australia?
Tama po yan. At ang ginawa po natin ngayon ay medyo organized na. Talaga ang ating pong kababayan na si Melba Marginson, inorganize niya itong isang grupo ng mga talented young Filipino Australians to sit at a panel to talk about the topic of intersectionality. Ang ibig pong sabihin ng intersectionality, for those na, you know, a little bit confused like I was at the beginning, is that paano po kayang lumaki dito sa Australia at matikman ang mga ang ating mga kinabihasnan bilang Filipino-Australian blending in with the Australian, you know, way of life from day to day, lalo na po yan sa mga, you know, like those who are pursuing a career in this country. And are there challenges, and if so, what are the challenges of being a Filipino-Australian trying to make a name for yourself or themselves in the city of Melbourne? So in this instance, good old Melba has invited a group of people. And do you mind kung banggitin ko po yung kanilang mga pangalan? No? It's a panel of very talented young Australians, starting with Kay Abude. Siya po ay BCA graduate of Fine Arts and is an award-winning Melbourne artist who now has her own garment label here in Melbourne. Pangalawa po ay si Rachel Cecilio. She's Melbourne-born to Filipino migrants, who is currently the convener of the Asian Australian Rainbow Alliance. Ang kanya pong gawa is to raise awareness of the intersectional identities of the LGBTQIQ Asian Australians in Victoria. Matindi po yan, hindi po ba?
Mahirap na trabaho yun, ah.
Talaga po eh. And then there's Leisha Murphy, a Philippine-born migrant who since 2011 has provided leadership on community-based projects for policy development in addressing the drivers of violence against women.
At kung di ako nagkakamali, nitong nakaraang taon, author din.
Tama. Yeah. At meron siyang book na ni-release?
Oo, mga...
Of poems.
Yes, mga tula at sanaysay ukol sa kararasan ng mga kababayang nakaranas ng karahasan.
Tama po yan. And then there's Odin Fernandez, is a Filipino filmmaker based in Melbourne now who studied at Victorian College of the Arts. His graduate film, Duende, received the Master of Film and Film and TV Best Production Script of 2016.
Wow.
And is currently making its rounds around the international film circuit. So, ito pong grupo na ito,
at kasama natin si Matthew at si Charlotte.
And to add to that is, filmmaker, Melbourne, Australian-Filipino filmmaker Matthew Pastor and my daughter, Charlotte Nickdal, who's, as we all know, is an actor.
At nasa catering? Is that how you say it?
Catering.
Catering.
Yes.
In Filipino, it's catering. Siya yung isa sa mga bida doon.
Tama po yan.
How does it feel working for a show like Catering?
Oh, it was such an incredible experience. And I think that Kate McLennan and Kate McCartney are two women working in Australia who are really aware of their ability to elevate the voices and the faces of people of colour performers in Australia. And they are so brilliant at it, at doing it in like a tasteful but still entertaining way. And they were so kind. They wrote me the role in the catering
show.
So
they
wrote it for me, yeah. Which is why my name was Scarlett Nicked Out in the show.
Because that show, and every time I watch it, the first thing that comes to mind is, this is a show created by women.
Yes, absolutely. And they're both, I think it's very difficult sometimes to tread the line between promoting an issue that you're passionate about. So for them, obviously feminism is a huge driving
and
force.
And how women are portrayed on television.
Right, absolutely. And without making it preachy.
Yes.
So it's still funny, it's still entertaining, and I think they do such a great job of that. I think it's like one of the best comedy teams working in Australia.
The challenge when watching that show is trying to sleep because it's on late at night and you get all hyped up.
I know. There's so much energy going on in it. I feel like you almost need to like take a breath at the end because there's so many jokes. They're coming so fast.
Yes. Siguro proud na proud ka, Alfred.
Of course.
You better be.
Yes. And it's one of those things, and not just because Charlotte is my daughter, pero the fact that slowly we are making progress in how people of color are emerging in the arts community. And again, it's one of those things na hindi tayo magpro-progress kung wala tayong mga talented people like Matthew and Charlotte and Odin and Leisha. All these emerging talents are slowly coming up in our community, and I think kinakailangan malaman ng ating mga kapwa kababayan na nandito yan mga talent.
Pero ikaw, ano yung karanasan mo dahil naging bahagi ka na ng Neighbors, kung ako nagkakamali, at ng Tomorrow When the War Began. So para makuha mo yung mga papel na ito, naging madali ba o medyo challenging?
There's more than one way to explain that. Unang-una po, kilala na po nila ako. Ngayon, yung mga production companies, yung mga director, mga writers, dahilan alam nila na matagal na ako sa industry. I mean, I started acting here in Australia in 1979 when I was only about 19, 20 years old.
Real pa doon.
They actually use real films then. Instead of video cassettes. And then, and because over the years I'm still around, they think, oh, reliable siya. Pero ang malaki pong challenge niyan, I am still categorized as one of those people na, ah, kailangan natin ng Asian. So, you know, Vietnamese, Chinese, Thai. Si Alfred, pwede na yan kasi medyo singkit ang mata, pwede na yung makapasa. We'd like to change that. And I think that landscape is slowly changing with Charlotte becoming, you know, like sort of not being highlighted as a Australian Asian actor, but with a Filipino name in the catering show.
Yeah,
you know?
And that was something that I, when they wrote me that character, they asked me if I would like to change the surname so that it wasn't so closely identified with me. And I kind of thought, no, I want to have a Filipino name, because I've never gotten to play a Filipino character before. Although when I did camp for NBC, they didn't specify my ethnicity. And then they were writing as we filmed it. And when they did specify my ethnicity, I actually asked the writers if they could change it to Filipino. Because I was like, I'm Filipino and there's no reason that the character can't be. And I think that, yeah, as you say, Dad, it's a huge thing. Filipinos make up a large part of the entertainment industry in the Western world, not just in Australia, but in America, in the UK as well. And I think it's unfortunate that we don't often get to identify with our own identities. Mm-hmm. We're so often pretending to be different Asian cultures. Yeah.
Yun nga yung sasabihin ko, hindi ba? Parang sa Pilipinas, kung ikaw ay, or if you were an actor in the Philippines, wala namang magtatanong na, Pinoy ba siya?
Yeah.
But then, kasi lalabas ka ng Pilipinas, hindi mo rin maiiwasan na ma-single out ka, or maitangi ka, or ma-box ka, dahil lumulutang yung pagka-Pilipino mo, hindi ba? Kailan kaya dapat, when do you draw the line, you think?
Yes, well, sa akin po yan, my view is that we have to be conscious. We have to be aware na pagka, you know, like eventually what's going to happen is that when somebody gives, you know, offers us a job in this industry, in the entertainment industry, first and foremost, you know, like if they can offer us a job because of our natural talent, because of what we can offer as a, you know, as a performer. Second is to acknowledge our heritage, you know, like kung, you know, if we are of Filipino heritage, if we are a Chinese, that's fine, but let it be acknowledged, you know.
And I think a big part of that as well is having people behind the camera, and this is where you come in, I think, Matthew, who are telling those stories. And I think in terms of like being Filipino-Australian as well, both of us, we were saying before the interview, neither of us really speak Tagalog, but we still identify very strongly with being Filipino. And that's why I think the films that you make, which are about being Filipino, are so important.
And that's the thing, because they're their own, it's where our own culture. So in that sense, we're actually needing to create the content so it actually reflects what we are, because without a voice for it, without the content coming out, then...
And then that creates the momentum.
Exactly.
But my question for you is, growing up in Australia, being you were born here.
Yes.
Born and raised in Melbourne. Mm. How did you get to know your Filipino side?
That's actually interesting. A little backstory to my family history. So when we... Earlier in my life, I was very close to the family and the extended family. So when my father married mum, brought her over here, we also, the whole family came along. And for the first part of, you know, the early 90s, everyone, we lived together in two houses separated by a fence. And so I was very close to the Filipino part of me in terms of my Australian identity. I was with my cousins all the time. Now, over time, what happened is people actually ended up, the family kind of had a bit of a fallout and people moved to other parts. And I think this is a common experience for a lot of Filipinos in Australia. I think when we first migrate, we're sometimes a lot closer to the Filipino-ness, but that kind of ends up kind of finding its way.
You find a way to... I mean, I know for me, like, before I started school, I spent a lot of time with my Lola and Lolo. Yeah. And then that's inevitable, I think, for any kid, no matter what your cultural background is. You start school and then that's where you draw your culture from. And you spend less time with your parents and you spend less time with your grandparents. But when your cultural background isn't reflected at school, you begin to identify as being Australian.
And that's when the conflict happens too.
And then I feel that it wasn't until I finished school that, and a big part of it actually was being an actor and realizing that all the roles that were being offered to me were roles for Asian women. And I was like, oh, I'm Asian. It was almost like I hadn't even thought about it. And it's really only in the past 10 years that I've become so intertwined with my Filipino identity and become so passionate about it. And I think it's something that's quite unique to our experience because it's an identity that we choose. We say, I'm Filipino, I'm proud of that, and I'm going to find that in myself.
And you have to choose it because what happens is, like, at first you're Filipino and then you enter the Australian society and then you're not Filipino.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're 28 and you're like, my whole career is now revolving around finding my Filipinoness.
Yes.
Like, where is that? And then you realize it's been a part of me all along, but... being
just
Australian.
Like Dorothy in the shoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you were growing up, there weren't a lot of Asians as well.
Oh, yeah.
And like, especially not Filipino.
I remember when I first moved here in Melbourne, the only place where I could see people with dark hair was in Little Bourke Street.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. Chinatown.
Yes. But you'd walk past the street, you could count like five of them walking past you with black hair or, you know, fair skin. But now you walk and it's, you know, a whole mix of different kind of people.
Every single time I take the tram, I'm on the number 19 line that goes to Coburg down Sydney Road. I love it. Every time I get on the tram, I think if Australian television casts looked like the population of this tram, it would be truly reflective of our community.
It's so not reflective of what Australia is.
Now.
Like it's exactly. Yeah. I can't believe it's so far
and it's changed so much, diba? Yeah. Since tumira dito in the 70s.
Yeah. Mm. And in fact, in the 70s when we first arrived, we actually struggled to find another Filipino family. So when we do, we straight away, we'd make a trip. So, nakatira kami noon sa St. Albans. My parents still live there. So, we find all these Filipinos living in Brunswick. We traveled to Brunswick. And then there was a group of Filipinos who sings, right? They were, I think they were nurses. And they called themselves the Flatters.
Anything more Filipino than singing nurses.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they lived in this
Flatters.
Block of, yeah, they lived in a block of flats in Brunswick.
Makes sense.
Somebody had a guitar and they would sing together. They were called the Flatters.
That's amazing.
And they sang every weekend just amongst themselves. And we used to come in and listen to them. I think, Matthew, you grew up in a very much Australian kind of environment, didn't you?
Yeah, very much, because my father, although he's he also struggled similarly because he's mixed Malaysian Spanish, but he looks very Western, right?
He's white passing. Yes.
Yeah, he looks. Yeah, so he's had to pick one side and identify with it. And when he did that, he would actually try to make my mum or everyone not speak in Tagalog to me because he wanted me to fit in.
Yeah, that's such a common thing, I think, that I want you to fit in. And I think that you and mum had a similar, not necessarily don't speak in Tagalog, but definitely you felt like, well, you'll speak English in school. So that's, and else as well, because mum didn't speak Tagalog. She's actually learning it now, which is incredible.
Cool.
She's doing very well, actually.
Yeah. A pretty good incentive is food.
Yes. Yeah. But only always. Like the first phrases that I learned were like masarap and busogako.
And mataba for me.
And I think that's, and coming back to what you were saying, I think it, unfortunately, it is such a common thing where people feel like they have to choose. I have to choose to be Australian or I have to choose to be Filipino. Mm. And I read this incredible zine, and I wish I could remember the woman that put it together. It's called Mixed Up, and it's about being mixed race. Have you read this zine?
No, I haven't. Where is this?
It's incredible. Google it.
Yeah.
I read it a few years ago, and it was one of the first things that truly spoke to me in saying, your mixed identity can be an identity. You don't have to choose. You don't have to pick one side.
I actually interviewed someone that, and it's called Third Culture.
Yes, I've heard that, yeah.
Ooh.
So it's your parents' culture and it's your culture and the culture of the place that you grew up.
And it's valid.
Yes.
It doesn't, because I think so often you have this, this experience of when I'm with my Filipino family, I don't feel Filipino enough. And when I'm with my white family, I don't feel white enough. And in any space, you don't quite feel like, and then the idea that you can identify as being mixed race, you can identify as having parts of both of those things is, it's such a liberating feeling.
But there's actually one person that I spoke to who's been living in Australia for the longest time. And when he mentioned it to me, he's like, when I go back to my hometown, I feel lost.
Yeah. Wow.
Like I don't belong anywhere. And when I've come here, I feel lost too.
Yes.
No, you know, home.
That is quite common. I feel that. When I, it's only now because I've been frequenting the Philippines and visiting my relatives. At mahusay na akong mag-Tagalog ulit dahilan nahasa na in aking Tagalog, it takes me siguro mga 1 or 2 days na mabalik ulit yung aking pagka-Tagalog. And then it's okay, hindi na ako marunong mag-English. And then I feel like I belong. Pero before that, 10 years ago, when I first took Charlotte over for the first time, prior to that, I have not come home for 20 years.
Okay.
And I felt like a stranger. And I felt like there was a lot of things as a, you know, as an Australian, a Filipino-born Australian coming back, you know, not having come home for 20 years, and then experience what they're doing there. Not that I resented it, but I felt like a stranger.
And I think just coming back to Project Cultura, I feel like that sense of being lost, the solution to it is building the community of people who are experiencing a similar thing. And I think that it is many, many Filipino Australians living here in Melbourne that feel that way when they go home or go back for the first time.
That's right.
Yeah.
And in fact, just to add on to that, that was 20 years with very minimum Filipino connection. Mm. You know, bringing up my children and doing my work, my profession and my acting and all that stuff. So there was nothing. And it wasn't until I started to go and to return to Manila again every year since then. And then, you know, like building, you know, rebuilding our Filipino community here. And that's why I feel very passionate. I think the three of us, you know, all agree that we need to rebuild, we need to build our Filipino-Australian community to keep ourselves connected.
Yes.
You know, I think it's very important.
And I think it's definitely so that thing of building first on a sense of personal belonging and then a sense of cultural belonging and then the intersection of the two.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And
telling the stories, I think this is where I have gravitated towards Matthew here in what he's been doing in the last couple of years in writing, developing, and film, you know, creating stories, making movies about, you know, the life of being a Filipino Australian in Melbourne. I think you're the only person I know who so far have done that, apart from maybe that I saw recently in Sydney.
Three features they're coming out. But the thing is, even my mum is so proud now of my Filipino-ness, which was something that it's interesting how inspiring creating can be. If my mum was like denying her Filipino-ness at one point because of trying to fit in, and then now she's proud of her son and now finding pride in herself.
Yes.
That is the power of it. If my mum, of all people, can suddenly be proud to be Pinoy, wow.
Yeah,
she's like, I can't wait to go back. And before she was like, I'm never going back.
Artista na yung anak ko, sabi ng mami mo.
It's like...
Filmmaker na.
Filmmaker na. Oh, direct na.
Direct Matthew, ha?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's true because now... people can identify, you know, the fact that Charlotte is promoting herself as Filipino Australians and she's on the mainstream media. Now, suddenly, it's not just Filipinos, but Asians in general, you know, will say, there's an Asian face on television, the same way as they probably looked at me when I started appearing. But now there's, you know, like we're building up. You know, there is a pool of talented, you know, Filipino Australians coming out into the mainstream. And I think that's how we now reconnect with our culture. Lalo na pagka nalaman nila, meron bang you know, Charlotte is half Filipino. Matthew is telling Filipino stories. We want to hear more. And at the same
time, it sets a precedent for those stories to be relevant, you know?
And sa tingin ko, yung magandang dala ng salin lahi o generation nila Charlotte is inilalagay nila tayo sa sentro. Hindi
tama.
Ba? Dahil namulat na sila sa buhay Australiano at sa buhay Pilipino. Dahil sa mix ng dalawang yon, nailalagay tayo sa gitna.
Yeah, tama. And this is where I think ang ating Project Cultura becomes a platform for everybody to gather and listen to stories and look at the, you know, like look at where we're going. And then let's take that journey together as one.
Maraming salamat Alfred Nicdao, Matthew Victor Pastor, and Charlotte Nicdao.
Maraming salamat po.
Maraming salamat po.
sbs.com.au/Filipino.